Good morning, church. It is great to see you on this Sunday morning. My name is Jared. I am the pastor here at Pine Grove Baptist Church, and if you're a guest with us, it really is an honor and a privilege to be worshiping with you on this very Sunday. The only request of us as a church for you as our guests is to stop by the black tables there in the church for your guest services. Miss Lacey will be there to meet you. We have a gift provided for you and your family out of our appreciation for you joining us in worship. I'm thankful for your presence. We're in a series entitled, Why Not Me? I'll speak to that in just a moment. Before you get super comfortable, stand back to your feet. We're going to read God's holy word together. As you're standing, we're going to be in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles is Old Testament. Beginning of your Bible, you may not have a Bible. You can look on the overhead, use your phone. I'm reading from the New King James Version, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, two verses together. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. We're finding a prayer that this man named Jabez prayed, and for whatever reason, in God's great sovereignty, God answered this man's prayer. Our focus this morning is on the prayer before us. Before you take your seat, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I've been asked to pray for a number of families, and some of these names you will recognize, others you may not know. It started yesterday afternoon with a phone call regarding Mr. Tim Roach. He was being taken via ambulance to the VA hospital. He has a pacemaker, and it went off like 11 times yesterday, cardiac arrest, vomiting. He's been fighting a liver disease, so Miss Mary has asked for us to be praying for Mr. Tim. He is literally fighting for his life. I was also got a text message late last night, early this morning, by Mr. Raymond Hood. His mother, Miss Patricia, was taken to the hospital early this morning via ambulance with heart-related issues as well. They're looking to do surgery at some point in time, but she was stable as of early this morning. And then I just spoke to Miss Sandy, and her husband's battling some congestive heart failure and fluid on the lungs, and I want to be praying for Mr. Sheffield. So I know you may not know all these names, but God knows each one of these men and women. And as a faith family, I want you to pray with me for the great physician to do his work in each of their lives. Please pray with me as we start our service. Father God, in humility, we as the people of Pine Grove Baptist Church come before your throne of grace. In a posture of humility and a cry of dependency to you and you alone, God, we ask specifically for the touch on Mr. Tim Roach. Father, I am unaware of all the details, but I know it's not looking good. In your divine sovereignty and your great will in heaven, I pray for your will to be executed as it's described in heaven as it is on earth. Father, if that means a healing on this side, we pray and give rejoicement. We pray for the clarity and the wisdom of the physician team. I pray for the strength and the peace of mind for Miss Mary and the siblings that are gathered around. Father, I pray for Miss Patricia Hall. She too at the hospital and facing a heart surgery and some matters related. You are the great healer and the great physician. I too pray for the physician team that will be administering this surgery over Ms. Hall. I pray for a full recovery. I pray for restored health. I pray for the continued service of your daughter for you, God. Lastly, I lift up Mr. Sheffield. This fluid on the lungs, the pressure of breathing and the pumping of the heart, all these matters are before he and Miss Sandy. I pray for your touch of healing, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ over Mr. Sheffield, that his eyes will turn to you and see that the sovereign Lord of God is in control. Father, as we turn our attention to the scriptures before us, open our eyes and give us ears that see, ears that hear, and eyes that see. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to move and to minister. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke any evil, demonic activity that would distract, deceive, or destroy the message of truth provided through the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, you may take your seat, this time for good. As we start this morning, and while your attention is a little fresh, may I just kind of hit two pieces of information before we jump into the sermon. First and foremost, last Sunday was a complete surprise to myself and the staff at our church. If you missed the end of the service, you, the church, recognized our pastors and staff, and I am very humbled and thankful on behalf of our staff. Thank you, church, for loving us. The gifts given were very generous. We feel very loved and privileged to be serving alongside of you here at Pine Grove Baptist Church. So just thank you for that piece. And then while we look forward to the coming activities of the month, on the 19th of November, it's a Sunday, we're having Friendsgiving at Pine Grove Baptist Church. You're invited to join us after service in the fellowship hall, which is right down these halls. We're going to provide a meal of sorts. Well, I say that we're going to provide the ham and the drinks. We're going to ask you, the church, to provide side dishes and desserts that go along with the meal. It's a team effort. Church is a team sport. We're asking you to contribute and play and participate with us. That is next two Sundays from now, November the 19th, in the fellowship hall right after service. You're invited. Hey, I've never even been to your church. This is the first time. Stay back with us. We have some phenomenal cooks, and we have some folks that buy a lot of good stuff from Publix. But wherever you find yourself, stay with us and eat. It's coming up November the 19th, Friendsgiving. So Why Not Me is where we are today. If you haven't been with us very first time, or if you missed, this is the second installment, and it's dealing with a prayer from this man named Jabez. I want to just provide a bit of context if you missed last week. Before we go any further, is there a hiss? You hear that? Or is it just me? All right, I'm sorry. I felt like I had like a luff. Just scratch that. Where'd this sermon come from? There we go. Thank you. Perfect. Where did this sermon come from? If you have been reading the one-year Bible, many of you have. I have as well. It's effectively you read the entire Bible in 1 year. They give you an Old Testament. They give you a New Testament. They give you a Proverbs and a Psalms reading. If you follow it day by day for 352 days of the year, you have read the Bible. July the 7th, we were reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and chapters 5. And this verse in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 stuck out and just resonated with me, so much so that I wrote it down on a note card and began to think about it, ponder about it, pray about it, about this man who had the audacity to pray to God for blessing and increased territory or influence, a hand of protection, and God granted him his request. I'm like, that's odd, that's strange. So I began praying and asking and seeking God, and this statement kind of came to me. If it could be provided for Jabez, then why can't it be provided for me? If it was provided for Jabez, why can't it be provided for you? If it was provided for Jabez, why can't it be provided for our church? Thus, the impetus of why not me? Now, just at the clarification, I recognize that you're not Jabez. I'm not Jabez. I'm Jared. You are you. God made you to be you, to do the purposes that God has for you. Likewise, God made Jabez for the purposes that God made Jabez. But I remind you, the God that Jabez served is the God that you serve today. So if God could do it for Jabez, why can't God do it for you and I? So again, one more reminder. This is a prayer that Jabez is praying. Jabez starts off his life kind of with the wrong foot, kind of the deck is stacked before him. How do I know that? The text tells us that his mama named him Jabez. Jabez in the Hebrew means painful or sorrowful. I don't know what mama names their kid painful. Like, I'm going to bless you the rest of your life and be a constant reminder of how painful you are to me, how much sorrow you have brought into my life. I don't know why Jabez was given that banner and such a discouraging start on life, but what we find through these two verses, though he started in a bad place, he didn't finish in a bad place. And though the deck may be stacked against you, you might be struggling and fighting and hanging on to the end of the rope. Don't give up. Because the banner that's over your life doesn't stop where you are today. I really believe there's better in store as you walk and follow and obey the God of Jabez. Jabez was remembered not for what he did, but what he prayed. Thus, we find ourselves today looking at the first part of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Today's sermon deals with the blessing portion. Next Sunday, we'll deal with the enlarging of our territory or influence. And then the last sermon deals with that protection from pain and evil. Today, we start with this idea of blessing me indeed. And I want to provide you three answers, I suppose, three questions that you may have as you kind of dive and walk through the text. I pray that you've been taking the encouragement of last Sunday seriously and you've read this text, you've been praying on this text, you've been listening to God. But we answer three questions today about the request of blessing. Take notes and follow along carefully. The first question that we come into is, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? We're not going to read the text again. I'll just tell it to you. Jabez prayed that you would bless me indeed, O God. Blessed. Hashtag blessed. Many of you have dropped that on your social handles. Hashtag blessed. So like, what does hashtag mean, sister? If I gotta explain it to you, it's too much time. But it's a mark typically hashtag blessed because you and your wife had a phenomenal date night and you put up this filtered picture of you and her or he and you, and you're at this place that nobody can afford, and you're just hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed, unexpected raise today, and you posted on social and you got the dollar signs, and God, it's just so good. Hashtag blessed. Your kid makes the team. The rest of our kids didn't make the team. Hashtag blessed for your kid. The rest of us, well, hashtag blessed. What a wonderful family you have. I mean, your kids always do what they're supposed to. A honor roll, perfect attendance, captain of the team, and our kids, well, hashtag unblessed. Hashtag blessed. We pray for blessing at churches, a very common language when you are at church. We pray for the sermon. We pray for the missionaries in Africa. We pray for the blessing over the offering. Hashtag blessed. Grandmama says to you when you sneeze, God bless you, baby, right? Hashtag blessed. When you meet someone and you can tell their spiritual, whatever it is, how are you doing today? And their response doesn't miss a beat. I am blessed and highly favored. And you're like, what in the world? That I was sitting at a soccer game, eavesdropping, not like a weirdo, but the lady next to me, the opposing team, someone walks up to her and she says, hey, how are you doing? Without a beat, I am blessed and highly favored. And I said, go ahead, girl. Hashtag blessed. In the South, we use that blessing in two ways. If you're not from the South, if you're a Yankee, welcome to the South. Really glad to have you. Leave your politics up there, but that's a different note. In the South, we say blessed in a sympathetic way, and it would be like this. Oh, bless your heart, I'll be praying for you. And genuinely, there's empathy or sympathy or compassion. But in the South, it's used another way with condensation, and it goes like this. Oh, bless your heart, you really aren't that smart, are you? So be careful if you're new to this area, how the words are being used, because hashtag blessed may not mean what you think it means. Biblically speaking, what in the world does it mean to be blessed? Certainly it cannot mean what we read or see on social media, that it is a monetary or a consumable good that you portray to the world just how blessed your life is. No, that's, you know well enough, that's not what the Bible has to do with the word blessed. In the Hebrew, and I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, it starts with a B, but it means to invoke divine favor to experience the benefits of God. That's what you read there in verse 10 when Jabez prays for blessing. He is invoking God for divine favor to experience the benefits of God. I would just submit to you as you go back and you review the text, Jabez did not want God to simply pat him on the head, to give him a fist bump, or even a high five. Jabez wanted a divine encounter with God. Stay with me. He was reaching beyond his pain, that banner that has been described of his life. He was reaching up like our toddlers do and grabbing the face of God and putting the attention and saying, God, bless me. I want all of you, God. I want exactly what you want for me, God. God, bless me. Nowhere do you find Jabez dropping the hashtag blessed and posting a picture with his new donkey and his beautiful wife. Maybe it's in there. Well, I didn't find it in my study, but he wanted to experience God in the fullest. He wanted all of God and what God wanted for him, and he prayed for blessing. Many of you have read the book entitled The Prayer of Jabez by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, and he adds the definition of this word blessed or blessed. He writes, To bless in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. So in a definition that I wanted to give, because I'm relatively simple, blessed means the favor of God. Have you ever heard of the fog? Not like driving on Monday morning to Gainesville and you're fearful. You're in the favor of God, F-O-G. I want the fog to fall on this church. I want the fog to fall on your life and your marriage and your family. I want that over me and you and us collectively. The favor of God, the fog or that supernatural experience is an equipping and an empowering for you and I, the child of God, for the work of ministry. It takes our gifts and our abilities and infuses them with the Holy Spirit's power and enables us to accomplish things for God that we could never, ever do in our own strength. The favor of God, the blessing of God, the hand of God takes you to a place that you could never do in and by yourself. Did you know that your relationship with God is really a dependency upon, not an interdependency? Not like, hey, you do this and I'll do that and we'll meet together and we'll go. It is all God and you are following in obedience. And when you get to a place of obedience and a giving to God, I believe the favor falls and he uses you in ways you could never imagine. Just by a review of your Bible, and I know many of you are new to this, so some of these names may not be recognizable, but I believe everybody knows that the mother of Jesus was named Mary. The Christmas season is coming. Come back in a few weeks. We'll talk about this person named Mary. But do you recall what Gabriel or the angel said to her when he showed up and he spoke to her? Highly favored one, Mary, a teenage girl, the favor of God fell. We see Moses, we see David, we see Joseph, we see Esther, we see Noah, we see Daniel, we see Ezekiel. You pick any character throughout your Bible, and God uses them in ways that was unimaginable. The favor of God fell and was used by God, blessed in a sense. You're like, well, I appreciate that, Pastor, but I'm no David, I'm no Moses, I'm not Mary, and neither am I. But you are a child of God. You are a son and daughter bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can pursue and even experience this favor of God by humbling your heart and obeying the word of God. You mean it's that simple? Kind of. It's something God gives, and certainly God is selective about who he gives it to, but I think it is available in the posture of humility to God. Can I just clarify for you that the favor of God, the blessing of God, only comes to those with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Like, you can't roll down to Walmart this afternoon and go through the sporting goods aisle and pick up some favor and you have no relationship with God. It is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ where you have bent your knee and bowed your head and confessed to the heavens that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the Savior of my life. Where you confess that it is by Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, who shed the precious blood and paid a debt I could never pay. Amen. The blessings are after the relationship. The blessings come out of the obedience for the son and daughter to a holy God. So right off the bat, what does it mean to be blessed? I would submit to you it doesn't probably mean what you find on social media. But in a biblical sense, the favor of God falls, the hand of God rests on the son or daughter that is humbly and obediently following God. Question number two. Why? Why does God bless us? I answered it a bit in part in that previous point. But why does God bless us? Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez prays that God, you would bless me indeed. And I just say at the first point or first answer, God blesses you because he's a good father. What father doesn't seek to give good gifts to their children? You got to be a real wackadoo to be raising children and seeking their demise and their utter frustration. If that's you, I pray you find Jesus Christ. But most of us, at least, let's just say, I hope you're pursuing a relationship with God through Jesus and you want to give to your children good things. And I don't want to spoil our children, certainly not, but we want to provide and do for them because we love them, we provide for them, we protect them. They're our precious children. But understand this, as sons and daughters of God, when the favor of God rests on you, it comes with great responsibility. It's not just a cheap gift given that you can, like Halloween candy. Who went through your kids' bags and you picked off the good stuff and that cheap stuff we sent wherever cheap stuff goes? And don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. We have a tendency to siphon off the things we don't want. It's a great responsibility to be used of God, the favor of God. The question is, why does God bless us? Here you go, write this down. You are blessed to be a blessing to others. Some of you got that. Others of you are like, that makes no sense. You mean I'm going to receive the favor of God? I'm going to experience a fresh touch from God and I'm supposed to give it away? Have you met Jesus Christ? He gave his life for you, for me, so that we could have a relationship with God, that we can experience eternal life in heaven, that we could have the power to walk in purpose while we live on earth. If you're having questions about this idea of that you are blessed to be a blessing, I want to read a statement to you provided by Dr. Tony Evans in his book entitled Kingdom Man. It's on the overhead behind us or in front of us. A blessing is never only about you. It is always intended to include you, but it's also intended to go through you to others. Too many Christians today want God to bless them without being willing for God to bless others through them. And the church said, oh me. That we are blessed to be a blessing to others. That you receive a touch of God, the hand of God falls, the favor of God is upon you and your family and your marriage and your finances and your influence so that God can use you to touch someone else. It is never to be a cul-de-sac where it stops with you. Every person you encounter, most of the people you encounter in your Bibles used open hands and served God mightily, knowing it was through them that God was blessing other people. Question to you. I don't know if this is on the overhead. Let me check my handy-dandy notes. It is, right there. Next question. If God answered every one of your prayers right now, would it change anybody's life except your own? I can't take credit for it yet. That's Bob Goff in his book, Dream Big. But buddy, it rocked my socks. If God answered every one of your current prayers, would it change anybody's life except your own? You don't have to answer the question, because in my heart, it was like, oh me. How selfish I am praying for me and for my family and our finances and our health and our direction and our next steps and not giving a hill of beans to those around me. If it's happening to me, it's probably not happening to you because you're, well, let's just be honest, we're all in the same boat. Hashtag struggling. Hashtag a bit selfish at times with the blessings of God. That's a long hashtag. If God answered every one of your prayers right now, would it change anybody's life except your own? To that statement, hang on to this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. A New Testament writer named Peter wrote this statement. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Again, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, the gifts given to you haven't arrived yet. We believe wholeheartedly that when you accept Jesus Christ, you get the gift of salvation, but the Holy Spirit comes to you and dwells you and provides and gives you a or multiple gifts to be used as you serve others. So certainly there's our spiritual gifts, but I think we can interpret also the financial or the physical gifts that God gives for us to be used in different ways. Faithful stewards in the grace that God has provided to you and I. So why does God bless us? He blesses us to be a blessing to others. So you're probably asking yourself, well, how can I do that? What does that look like? I want to answer for an I, but also a we. I/we. What you/we can do, and it's first and foremost, is the community Christmas offering. Like, you might have come in late, you missed Josh's announcement. What is the community Christmas offering? We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And you agreed with me. Now let me give you some tangible next steps. And you're like, ah, I was teasing. No. Community Christmas offering is where we as the people of Pine Grove Baptist Church lean in and give above and beyond our tithe and offering to God to minister to children in the Tri-County community. Specifically, 8 schools are adopted. This year we are taking and aiming for 160 children to provide Christmas gifts to them at Christmas time. And some of you are like, why are we going to buy BB guns and bicycles? Well, because that's what they're asking for. But when you look a little bit closer, many of these children are asking for items such as socks and underwear or dog food and dog treats because mom can't afford the dog and she's thinking about getting rid of the dog. Many times they're asking for a bed and a blanket because they're sleeping on the floor. It's more than just the Christmas gift. It is touching a life in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you have been blessed and the favor of God falls on your family, what does it look like to give a little bit more at Christmas time for a family that is in need? What does that look like, Pastor? As a church family, we are seeking to raise, collect, and give $32,000. And at first pass, that's almost like ridiculous that we could do that. But you need to be reminded, it's not we, it's God. And I read in my Bible that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and everything is his and thereof. It's all his to begin with. In fact, the money that you have in your bank account, let me give you a little secret. It's not yours. Well, I earned it. And you did. You worked hard for it. But if you were to strike dead today, where would that money go? Not with you. Because you ain't going to be here. There's more to that statement. I'm making light of it. It doesn't belong to you. If it's really God's and seeing that by faith, I'm going to open my hands and tell God to do what he needs to do. We've been asking you as a church to be in prayerful consideration as to what your number should be. I pray you've been talking with your spouse and really wrestling. Because if you're like me, when me and my wife spoke, I was like, whoa, did we hear the same thing? I think, whoa. But if God has given, who are we to say no? Open our hands. Why are we blessed to be a blessing to others? Before I give you the next statement, I want to make another statement from Tony Evans. If you're not willing to be a blessing to others through what God has given you, then why should God consider you a good candidate for a blessing? If you're not going to give it, if you're not going to use it to bless somebody else, then why would God choose to use you in ways like Jabez, extraordinary measures? Community Christmas offering is coming up next Sunday, the 12th. You can give online. You can bring your gift through the tithe box or the offering receptacle. It is above and beyond your tithe. That is an offering. Don't rip Peter to pay Paul. By faith, we bring an offering to God. Secondly, and this is sort of like halfway news, but I hope it's going to be good news. We have petitioned or actually requested that our church be a host site for Night to Shine. Like, they're like, do I clap to that? What are we selling flashlights? What do you mean? Night to Shine is an organization that is hosted by churches really throughout all this world who desires to share the love of Christ with their community of people with special needs. It is a night given specifically for those ages 14 and older who have special needs. And we, the body of Christ, get to host a prom night and provide them the extraordinary love and care on that night. We have applied in the process of waiting. If it is approved, buddy, it is full send. Where we, the people of Pine Grove Baptist Church in Timbuktu, Gilchrist, and Levy counties, get to host a night and give somebody or a group of people a very fresh and special touch in the name of Jesus Christ. And Pine Grove Baptist just might be it. I know you may not know. Some of you do. Others of you do not know. We sit in a facility, a campus that is debt-free. God has provided and given. This building is large, and many nights it's empty. why not leverage the gifts that God has given us and leverage the people of God that has been sent and others in this community to come together across theological and doctrinal backgrounds and lines and hand to hand in the name of Jesus. We serve and we give because God blesses those who are a blessing to others. That's exciting news. I'm tickled pink in a good way about what is to come before us. Community Christmas offering, more information to follow. If we get approved, I'm going to strongly encourage for you and I to stand up and meet the gap of what that looks like. It requires a lot of volunteers, but we can do it. Why does God bless us? To be a blessing to others. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to have the favor of God upon your life. Lastly, and the third point, how do I walk in the blessings of God? I know this may sound like a strange statement, but if it's available, and certainly there's a kind of a hit and miss at who got it and who didn't get it, if you're like me, I want it, but what does it look like to be a recipient of it? Let me just make a statement to you by Dr. David Jeremiah before I answer the question. The blessing or the favor of God is attainable to all children of God because God's grace is available to everyone. If you're a child of God, it's available by God's grace to you and I. When we experience his grace and favor, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we deliberately yield our lives to the one who died and rose again for us, we become a candidate for the favor of God. So what does it mean to walk and receive? Partly is in store the relationship you have with God through Jesus Christ. And you're like, yeah, I understand that part. But is there something else? Is there a kind of the fine print, the more to the story? As sons and daughters, how do we experience the favor of God more frequently? Because if you're like me, there seems to be times that I'm really excited and very motivated and energetic and passionate. And there's other days it's Sunday and I want to just stay in bed and not go to church. And I'm the pastor. So if that's happening to me, I'm pretty certain it's happening to you. This roller coaster of emotions and energy and focus and obedience. I think that's normal. If it's always up and to the right, that may not be always so normal, but possibly. Again, what does it mean to experience the favor of God, the blessing of God, more frequently? And before I answer the question, I want to clarify to you and I two parts about this source of power named the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God falls, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you the favor. I want to clarify for you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a bit of a doctrinal statement, but it's important as you walk in experiencing the favor of God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is stated as such. At salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart, giving you eternal life, giving you the capacity to love God, to serve God, and to communicate with God. I don't know if you know this, but you are a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. The body is what we look at. You're beautiful, flesh and blood and skin and bone. The soul is your personhood. It is your identity. It is your personality and your will, your emotions. It is what makes you. But inside of that is a spirit that God breathed into Adam way back in Genesis, and every man, woman, and child since has a spirit like God. At birth, your physical birth, that spirit is dead and dormant. When you receive Jesus Christ, this Holy Spirit comes into your life, specifically your spirit, and makes it alive. You're born again. The spirit is made alive. When you die, and if the Lord tarries, your spirit will live forever with your soul, and you will receive a new body in heaven. That's way beyond the focus of our conversation. If you're tripping out, just understand this. Everybody gets the Holy Spirit at salvation. More specifically, everybody gets the same amount of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Did you hear that part? Because there's some brothers and some sisters that say, well, I got a second blessing of the Holy Spirit when I was thus and that. I'm not arguing with that. That's valid. But for those that hold that position, it creates in my mind a two-tier level of obedience. Why did you get it, but I didn't get it? What makes you so super special that the Holy Spirit blesses you a second time when the rest of us folk just got kind of like option A? It is my conviction and mine alone. You can take it and do your own study. When you get the Holy Spirit at salvation, you get all of Him at once. The indwelling comes at the moment of your salvation. But that adds to the second statement, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, what does that mean? Campus Crusades for Christ makes the statement this way. Where the follower of Jesus is empowered to live the life that God intended for them by submitting to the presence, the power, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So make a statement. You got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get at the moment of your salvation. But just because He got all of you, just because you got all of Him does not mean He has all of you. Rewind the tape because I slurred my words. My lisp came back. Just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, everybody that's a believer of Jesus Christ got the equal and same person at the moment of your salvation. You got all the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. But there are times when the Holy Spirit does not have all of you. And I want you to see something. The favor of God, in my opinion, comes upon you when the Holy Spirit is having more and more control in your life. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, when you make Him sad because of deliberate and habitual sin, when we quench the Spirit of God as a people of God, the Spirit doesn't move, He doesn't have access, He doesn't feel free to do because we are living in egregious sin and disobedience. But when we clean that junk up, when we confess and we repent, when we walk in righteousness and holiness and purity, the Spirit of God moves more in your life and you are the candidate for the favor of God to be used in mighty and extraordinary ways because you're doing what the Word of God told you to do. Amen. And the people of God said, right on, me too. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm going to read this to you very quickly. I'll just say it to you. Paul writes, there it is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, drunkenness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Write that in the margin of your notes and ask yourself, why does Paul write to a group of believers in the city of Ephesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If we got all of it at salvation, why are we asking to be filled? Context behind this verse, there were some folks that believed, and they were Christians, they had to get drunk and go to the place of worship to these pagans. I don't think they were Christians. Let me rewind that. They would get drunk, go to their places of worship to appease their God out of a state of drunkenness. And Paul says, hold up, wait a minute. You don't got to be drunk. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to be filled? In a very simple response, because we leak and we lose that favor, that touch, that presence. When a person is filled with the Spirit of God, they are allowing the Holy Spirit to fill their entire life. And every room in their life, every closet, every junk drawer is available and accessible to the Holy Spirit. Some of you missed that last statement of your junk drawer or that hidden closet, the place that we tell God this is off limits. I don't want to get in your business, but I'm going to get in your business because that's what God's business is to do. Are there places in your life that you've told God no trespassing? I'm glad you gave me salvation. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm the recipient of grace. But this area is off limits. Many of us struggle with the area of finances. You're like, God, that ain't yours. Sister, brother, child of God, it's God's. Some of you have said, God, my sexual activity is none of your business. Whom I choose to lay with and do with and go with is my choice. I'm not laughing at you. I guess I was. That's inappropriate. I shouldn't laugh at you. That's not polite. If you're a child of God, you have freely invited the Spirit of God to live in your heart. When you go back into the bed with a person you're not married to, you bring the Holy Spirit with you and you defile that bed doing things that God did not prescribe to you out of the covenant of marriage. If you want the blessing of God, the favor of God, then you must do what God requires in every aspect of your life. Some of you have a reputation of being liars. I'm not talking to you, person on your row. And we know, and I say we, like this mysterious, we all know, we all don't know, but you have, I say you, there are some that have a reputation of misrepresenting the facts. In other words, you're a liar, and people know that, and they associate you with Christ. The Holy Spirit has every aspect of your life. I'll get off my soapbox. How do we walk in the blessing of God? How do we keep this feeling and experience the full favor and power? Here it is. It's pretty profound. Obey. Obey what? Obey the word of God and obey the voice of God in your life. Who's the voice? It's that voice of conviction when you do something and you know it's wrong, but buddy, you grit your teeth and you buck up and I'm going to do it anyways. And after you did it, you feel like dog food. Well, I thought about dog food. You feel terrible because you were deceived and lied to. You did it, and now you have this remorse and this guilt and this self-loathing. Obedience to the word of God, obedience to the person of God, the Holy Spirit, because blessings always follow the obedience of God. Let me give you a mathematical formula. Back in high school with Mr. Douglas, not me, the other guy. Obedient, he teaches math, FYI, that's why I said that. It is my brother. Obedience equals surrender plus submission. So you said, Pastor, if I'm going to experience the continual favor of God, the presence of God, the power of God, I need to be obedient to God, and that specifically means I need to be surrendered to God and submissive to God? But I thought I was in control. You never were in control. God's in control. He is God and you are not. The blessings and the favor of God always follow obedience. I just make a point of reference as we wrap up together. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, where Jabez prays for this blessing. And go back and check my notes. Jabez left the blessing completely and entirely up to God. Nowhere do you find parameters or restrictions on what God was supposed to bless and how God was supposed to bless him. Specifically, Jabez says the timing of the blessing is up to you, God. The form of the blessing is up to you, God. The content of the blessing is up to you, God. The method in which you choose to bless me is up to you, God. All Jabez wanted was for God to use him in a special and mighty way. Jabez is a picture of submission and surrender. Just one more statement to you. St. Augustine of Hippo, one of the early fathers of the Christian faith, had this statement to make. God is always trying to give good things to you and I, but our hands are too full to receive them. Is that you? Praying for more, but yet you won't drop some things that God says you need to drop in order to receive some good things I want to give you. God is a loving Father who wants the best for you, and God knows what's best for you. Do you really believe that? If you did believe that, what does submission to God's instructions look like in your life? Submission plus surrender equals obedience. I'll give you this last statement of surrender. The three C's of life are choices, chances, and changes. You must take a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. One more time, that was quick. You must take a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. God cannot bless you unless he has you. And that's not pastor talk, that's not church talk, that's just the reality of a heart that has been humbled and surrenders to God, seeking to obey God in a posture of submissiveness and humility, that God cannot and God will not bless you until he has complete authority over you. Do you have that posture of surrender and submission before God? I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your head. We're going to have a time of response for those that are new to our church. There's nothing going to be crazy. I want to give you an opportunity. If you've been sitting here this morning and you know in your heart you're not living where you need to be living, you know in your heart that you don't have a relationship with God, you know in your heart that you haven't been surrendered and submissive to God, I'm going to give you a chance to be obedient to what you've heard this morning and start a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, if that is your desire this morning, I want you to repeat this prayer to yourself as I say it aloud. Dear God, I confess I'm a sinner and I can't do it on my own. I believe Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt. I believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. At this moment, I invite Jesus Christ into my heart to have a relationship with you, God. God, help me to be obedient, full of surrender and submission every day forward. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you are. I'm not going to have you stand up, turn around, do dances, but just lift your hand up. I want to pray over you. I see some hands across the room. Praise God. In the balcony, you can, yes, put your hands down. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For these that have raised their hand, congratulations. You've made the best decision of your life. The angels in heaven are, in fact, rejoicing over your decision. But the decision to raise a hand or to repeat a prayer doesn't stop there. There is a process in front of you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. It begins with going through the waters of baptism and then working with others to grow in your relationship with Christ. When you're ready, I'm going to invite you to take that bold step. You may come forward and speak to me. Others will be standing around this platform to pray and encourage. When you're ready to take that step, we'll be ready to walk with you and encourage you. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For those that have a relationship, those that have been walking with Jesus for some time, I just ask you, where has the Holy Spirit pressed upon you in your obedience? Are you fully surrendered? Are you fully submissive? Are you seeking to be a blessing to others? Because God's blessed you. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for the reading and the preaching of this word. We ask that you do now what only you can do. Touch hearts, change lives, give people the courage to walk in faith. We love you, Jesus Christ. Amen.